Thank you. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church's 11 o'clock candlelight service, the midnight as it is called. This is a wonderful time during the evening that we can get together and usher in the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us this evening, a special welcome to you. And I invite you and members alike to fill out our attendance pads that are at the end of each pews and just pass those down sometime during the service as you have an opportunity to. Well, I'd like for you to please stand with me and join in our call to worship printed in your bulletin. Silent night, holy night.
Behold the wonder, born in light.
Born a child, yet a king.
A promise fulfilled, the angels sing.
Sing of love, sing of life.
The Prince of Peace shall end all strife.
Our hymn of faith is O Come All Ye Faithful. We'll sing verses 1 through 4 and verse 6. Hymn number 234.
Thank you.
6 through 7. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, our steadfast hope of our personal salvation. Jesus Christ is our hope in life when we find ourselves facing a world of despair. Let the light of your hope and belief in Jesus Christ as Savior of all be your counsel and guide this season and forevermore. Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our hope eternal. As we share Christ with others, may each find their hope in him now and forevermore. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer with a prayer of Christmas. Bow with me, please. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, We come together this evening desiring nothing more than to bless you. We want to express our love for you through our praise and worship, through the playing of instruments, the lifting of our voices, and with the reading of your holy word. In everything we do this evening, may you find favor with your children. We have lit the Advent candles of hope, love, joy, and peace in services past. May we find hope in you and you only. May we love as you first loved us. May we use our gifts for you and find joy. And in all our struggles, find in you peace that passes all understanding. This evening, we light the Christ candle. Emmanuel, God with us. Your Son, our Savior, came to earth as a little baby and grew to be our sacrifice. Help us to not only celebrate his birth on one day, but on every day of the year. Without his sacrifice, we would have no hope, love, joy, or peace in our lives. We ask, Father, you make this evening like none other we have ever experienced. Make your presence known to us, even in the quiet stillness of the night. Speak to our spirits, and may we love you more every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As our ushers come forward, let us acknowledge that we are a blessed people. We are so lucky to live in this country, to be able to worship without fear, without retribution. Let us pray. Great provider, we thank you so much for blessing us. All things are yours. All the blessings come from you, and we want to acknowledge that. Fathers, we give back a portion to you. Bless them. Bless the giver. Bless the gift. And also bless those who will be receiving these gifts, those in need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. hymn of meditation, in which you can remain seated, is "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," hymn number 218 in your hymnal.
I'm going to be sharing with you, not as the bulletin list, the gospel story of the birth of Christ from Luke 2. We shared that with the children earlier in the evening as they actually told out the story. We're going to go to the second chapter of Matthew and his version of the birth story this evening, and then end up with Luke 2:19. May the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it in Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 8. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." And then from Luke 2, the 19th verse. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Merry Christmas. For those of you who have not been with us during the Advent season, let me very quickly recap what we've been doing the last few weeks as we've looked at the magical movies of Christmas. The first Sunday of Advent, we looked at Home Alone, Kevin McAllister trying to ward off the burglars and protect his home. We learned from Kevin and were reminded of the importance of the resilience of our faith, especially in times where we really need to draw from the reservoirs of our faith in troubled times. And we also examined his deep desire to reconcile with his family and how important that is for us as followers of Christ to be in a mode of reconciliation. Then the second Sunday, we looked at the Charlie Brown Christmas pageant, and we remembered the beautiful, innocent voice of Linus as he read the Luke 2 passage of the Christmas story. And we were reminded as the friends that were ridiculing Charlie Brown at first really came in a circle of love at the end as the hearing of that pure gospel of the birth of Christ and its meaning really kind of turned Charlie Brown's perspective around one of positive and one of being receptive to the love of others. And then this past Sunday, we looked at It's a Wonderful Life and were reminded of that wonderful story of the importance that each life is on the impact of others and how each life, yours and mine, is so valuable to the witness for Jesus Christ. So the magic of movies reminds us Christmas is really all about miracles. I certainly, from a personal standpoint, have been rejoicing in a miracle over the last 11 days with the birth of our first grandson and second grandchild, Camden Allen Tecito, born on December 13th. It was a wonder that I got through the second service because they surprised us by coming, driving from Fayetteville, and they are on their road back to Fayetteville. They wanted to be here for this, my last Christmas Eve service before I retire in June. Another miracle tonight is, I confess, I don't do animation. So the fact that I'm going to preach tonight on the Grinch is a bit of a miracle. It's interesting, as we look at all of our favorite Christmas movies, and all of us have several favorites, but perhaps in your list of favorites are two which actually concentrate the focus on characters who hated Christmas. Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge did not like Christmas. His focus was more on gaining and hoarding and protecting his money more than helping humankind. Of course, at the end of that wonderful movie, he has a change of heart. And then out in the movie theaters now is yet another remake of the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas, a Dr. Seuss production. And, of course, we know that Scrooge's heart was hardened by the money. Scrooge's heart was hardened by, he just didn't understand the fuss over Christmas, because actually Christmas was just a reminder to him of his miserable, lonely existence. But again, with the Grinch being out in theaters right now, I chose this evening to focus on the Grinch rather than on Mr. Scrooge. Most of us are familiar with Dr. Seuss's movie and, of course, previously the book on How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's been going on for decades, and it's touched millions of people as we read this story centered around the people of Whoville who loved Christmas, everyone except for the Grinch. And the Grinch hated Christmas, just despised it. And he made up a plan, which he was just going to spoil everyone's fun and dress up as Santa Claus and just basically strip their homes of anything that would remind them of Christmas. Do you know why the Grinch hated Christmas so? Well, there's a backstory. Everyone has a backstory. Well, when you see the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas, you discover the Grinch spent lonely Christmases in an orphanage in his early years. And the pain of those memories, the pain of those experiences as painful memories and experiences often do, that manifested deep inside his heart and really created a personality of selfishness, of self-focus and defensiveness, and he was quite unlovable. Perhaps this poem states it best. It could be that perhaps his shoes were too tight. It could be that his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been his heart was two sizes too small. On this Christmas Eve, as we remember Christ and why we're here today to worship him and the gift of God to us of being our Savior, I think the question really begs to be asked to you and to me, is our heart growing larger as we become closer to Christ? I want you to remember this scripture. It's very short. It's very powerful. It's from Proverbs 4:23. It states, "Above all else, guard your heart. From there springs forth the wellspring of life." I mean, think about it. From your heart shapes your decisions, shapes your choices of your relationships, chases your everyday similar small choices and those that are grand in your life. And as we remember our text as it ended tonight, Mary's difficult journey to Bethlehem, Mary's birth of her firstborn son, Mary's awe at hearing the voices of angels and shepherds praising God. And the scripture tells us, and Mary pondered all these things in her heart. As we ponder our hearts and look at our lives on a day-to-day basis, are we more of a Grinch or an angel? King Herod at the birth of Christ had to be the world's greatest Grinch. He couldn't stand the idea of losing his throne, especially to a newborn baby, one that was named King of the Jews. He couldn't dare to think about his monarchy being threatened. He couldn't stand to think his kingdom might be challenged. So while the angels and the shepherds are sharing this grand, great news of Jesus Christ, Messiah, being born, the news eventually fell on the wrong ears. Herod. For Herod immediately plotted to annihilate baby Jesus, yet even King Herod, we must remember, was once a baby. And I don't know, I'm sitting here thinking about this and I'm wondering, what in the world happened in the life of this baby turned child, turned young adult, turned man, that made his heart so incapable of love? Whatever causes a heart to shrink and grow smaller. Problems with self-esteem, problems with the family, issues of always blaming others, lack of interest in helping others. Herod focused so intensely to keep his kingdom, his throne intact, that his heart had narrowed and it was compounded by the expectations of his family to do whatever was necessary to keep the monarchy alive in the family, to protect that throne. Now, that kind of parenting doesn't grow hearts. So we hear the words of Matthew in his second chapter. The wise men, we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, the wise men who were living quite a bit afar perhaps were not familiar with Herod at all. And so innocently said, "We've seen a special star that signifies to us the birth of a newborn king. Could you tell us where to find him?" And this is followed by the phrase, "When the king heard this, he was deeply disturbed." And interestingly, that phrase is followed by, "and all Jerusalem with him." And that makes sense, doesn't it? When someone is in charge and they're not happy, chances are no one's happy. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. If the boss isn't happy, nobody's happy. If the teenager living in the house, probably running the house, isn't happy, nobody's happy. So understandably, when the people of Jerusalem, you see, hear of all of this, and the king is very disturbed, don't you understand? They felt like their lives were also in jeopardy. The birth of Jesus had Herod disturbed. Jesus still disturbs us today, and thanks be to God for that. People want to protect their stuff. People like to protect their status. Jesus isn't here for either of those. He wasn't born to protect either of those things for you or for me. No. The Jesus we come to worship and love and honor tonight said this: deny yourself, take up your cross, your sacrifice, whatever that might be, and follow me. That's the Jesus that was born to save us. That's the Jesus that was given to inspire us beyond ourselves. That's the Jesus we honor this evening. The Grinch was disturbed. He was disturbed by the people of Whoville that woke up on Christmas morning without anything to really show for themselves. And they were having a grand time without him. Herod heard of a baby born in a lowly stable, and that seemed to threaten him. You see, I'm guilty of this, and you are too. When we focus on ourselves and whatever it is that we are fearing in the moment, then we lose all healthy perspective and sense of reasoning. And the heart of ours may find itself shrinking a bit. The Bible goes on to say that Herod tried to deceive the wise men, saying that he wanted them to give him information so that he could go then and worship the baby Jesus. The Grinch tried to deceive the village and all of those who lived in Whoville by disguising himself as Santa and going in and sneaking into their houses and stripping them bare of any semblance of Christmas whatsoever, gifts, decoration, food for their Christmas dinners. Cindy Lou Who confronted him. She woke up and saw him. And she asked him, "Why are you doing this?" And he made some kind of story about repairing this or taking this to make it better or something. And she believed in her innocence. She had compassion and kindness. And those feelings of innocent belief and compassion and kindness tugged at it, what was left of his heart. We all struggle. Oh, we all struggle. There was a family here in worship tonight that I was a part of being with this weekend that's going through a tremendous struggle. But they came to worship their Jesus that's going to help them through their struggle, thanks be to God. Because I believe if Jesus were physically sitting in this room tonight and saying the words, Jesus would tell us on this Christmas Eve, even though the human struggle is real, the power of my Father God is greater. The power of my Father God, who has been there for you in the past, who is there for you in the present, will be there for you in the future. You can trust God, you can trust me, and you can trust the word, the holy word I've given to offer to you for your strength and your wisdom and your guidance. Only Jesus and his comforting spirit can help us through these troubled times in our world. And they are troubled. I have children who are millennials. They see me watch the news. They say, "Why do you do that? Isn't that depressing?" I said, "Well, it's not happy, but it's real." And I must live as a Christian of faith in reality. And I must confront this world and its troubles with the reality of my faith that is stronger than any trouble this world may present. Amen. You have to claim that power as well. You see, the Grinch came out that morning. He saw the circle of who's gathered hand to hand, heart to heart, singing with joy, even though everything had been taken from them, but their love for one another and their love for what Christmas represents, the joy of Christmas cannot be silenced. Joy, love, and laughter do that. They're contagious. Spent a week of vacation holding that new grandson. And I looked in his face, and there was nothing but perfect peace. And that perfect peace every now and then would smile. And I thought, oh, he's got gas. And then there was that cuddly warmth of a newborn and that luscious, precious smell. And I get it. My name's Mary also. But I couldn't help but think, wow, Mary holding a newborn baby boy, knowing all that she knew, all he represented, all the hope he would bring and power he would be. Power of transformation from sin to love. Oh, what Mary must have felt. Again, joy and love are contagious. Try to be angry at someone who is authentic and consistent in their truth and love. Try to remain stubborn and unmoving by someone who is truly repentant and sorry and on the road to transformation. Try not to hear the sounds of Christmas around you. Just try. It can't be done. There was no happy ending for Herod, for he never repented and lost his heart forever. And this came to me. Herod never worshiped the one who came to save him. The Grinch, through the loving invitation of a little girl named Cindy Lou Who, found himself on a Christmas morning understanding what Christmas really means. For God is love. This Christmas season, you may have seen some Grinches in traffic or in the stores. You may have even found yourself a time or two feeling a little Grinchy. Maybe you've even spotted a Grinch or two around the family table. But Christmas calls us to be angels, not Grinches. It reminds us that's why we're here. It reminds us to be unselfish and to feel the warmth of God. It reminds us to be like Mary holding a child and feeling that innocence and that laughter and that love and that joy. Christmas calls us to join in the message of Christ, sharing like the angels and the shepherds, "Hey, my life is good. And it's good because I know Jesus. And it's different from someone who doesn't know him." That's the message. Are you sharing it? I'll close in this. Every year at annual conference, you'll find a few vendors in the hall sharing some of the spiritual things that they make. Sometimes they're stoles and robes or shawls. Sometimes they're other things. There was one vendor several years back that was selling nativity sets made out of olive wood from the Holy Land. And it happened to be the summer of the year in which our older daughter and son-in-law were getting married. And it was going to be their first Christmas. And I thought, oh, that'd be kind of a great gift to give for them to have their first nativity set for their first Christmas together. So I visited with the vendor, and I picked out the various pieces. And Tony actually made a creche for them. And so I was visiting with the vendor, and he said something very interesting as he was loading up my shopping bag. And he said, you know, when I got the olive wood and some of the carvings over there, I was stopped at the Tel Aviv airport by the airport security, and I asked them why they were stopping me to look at my bag, and he said, well, we just have to make sure that there are no explosives in the bag. And I thought, wow, the story of Christ is explosive, if anything. May the love of Christ explode in your life so much that you can't help but want to share with others. And I think God exploded his holy word with John 3:16, and say it if you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. Explosion. Just think, Mary knew all of this as she pondered it in her heart. The Son of God, which she bore, would bear the sin of the world and wipe it clean. For while we were yet sinners, the Word tells us, he died for us. Didn't wait for us to get better. Didn't wait for us to get clean. Died for us, dirty and sinful and all. That's pretty explosive. May we forever give Jesus Christ our heart. Merry Christmas. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to enter into the sacrament of Holy Communion. In the United Methodist Church, by way of instruction, all are invited to partake in this Holy Communion. You do not have to be a member of this church. And as the communion stewards come forward and we prepare for this sacrament, they will offer you a gluten-free wafer if that is helpful for you. And we will invite you to hold your hands in a cup-style fashion as we have sanitized our hands, and so we can keep down all these winter bugs. And so we want to offer that to you in that way. And please know that these are the elements that represent the body and the blood of Christ, which is given for you. Let us prepare our hearts now for the sacrament of Holy Communion.
I invite you to turn in your bulletin and join with me in the communion liturgy. Let's join together with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Father, at this blessed Christmas feast, we give you thanks and praise. You created out of darkness and brought forth life on earth. You made us in your image, and though we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory, you love the world so much, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable Jesus was born, so from suffering and death you raised him to bring us life. Therefore, with the angels who sang glory to you in the highest and peace to your people on earth, we, your people in all ages, and the whole company of heaven, we join in the song of an ending praise, singing.
He took the bread, gave thanks unto God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks unto God, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." Therefore, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice for us, as a living and holy surrender of ourselves.
Christ has died.
Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be one in him, cleansed by his blood, faithfully serve him in the world, and look forward to his coming in the final victory. Through him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Invite those who are going to help assist this evening to please come forward at this time.
Thank you.
Our final hymn on this holy night will be Silent Night, Holy Night. During the singing of the hymn, our senior pastor will light her candle from the Christ candle and will share that light with each and every one of us. I invite you to turn now and stand and sing hymn 239, Silent Night, Holy Night.
Don't let your light die out. Go forward into this dark of the world and let your light so shine that all know you follow Jesus Christ, our Lord, this day and forevermore. Amen.